Good morning. Happy 5th of July. I suppose that you've not heard that very much, but it's a great day to celebrate, not only continue our celebration of our nation, but always on the first day of the week, we celebrate our wonderful Father and our Savior. This evening at 5, I especially want you to look forward to our 5 o'clock service that will be streamed because our brother Matt Sokolowski is going to be speaking for the first time to the congregation as a whole. He's been doing some devotionals. In fact, Matt is one of our featured speakers on Virtual Horizons, which is this week. And this normally would have been our largest crowd of the summer with all of our guests from Horizons. But this year, not so. Virtual Horizons. And those who are registered for Horizons will be able to view parts of 3 days of presentations online. Matt, thank you. Alicia, thank you. Esther Grace and Eden, thank you. We love you being here. I want to begin today by looking at some facts that may surprise you. The Bible is a book about giving, with more promises related to giving than to any other subject. For example, the subject of believing appears 272 times. Prayer is mentioned 371 times. Love, 714 times. Giving is mentioned 2,162 times. The Lord talked about giving more than he did any other subject, with half of his parables having to do with giving. In fact, 1/6 of all of his teaching has to do with material possessions. Matt and I both are addressing the theme of stewardship today. And again, you're familiar with the parable that Mike has read for us. And just to review a little bit, there is a master of tremendous wealth. And to mention the term talent for us refers to abilities, but and that's fine, that's justified for our vernacular. But then it was a weight of measurement, and it was a weight in particular, eventually, of coins. A talent would be, at least one talent, would be equivalent to at least $1,000. Some have mentioned a talent would be like 20 years of wages for the day laborer. I mean, think about that, 20 years of salary, one talent. And you multiply that, obviously, by 2 talents and then by 5 talents, you're talking about a lot of money. So here's a guy who had 3 servants that he entrusted with his possessions. The term steward is a little bit stronger word than the word servant. To say that you are a steward is to say that something of extreme value has been entrusted to you. It does not belong to you. It will not belong to you. Really, this parable is the 3rd out of 4 consecutive parables at the end of Matthew 24, all the way through Matthew 25, that have to do with what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing as we prepare for the coming of the Lord. That's really the dominant theme. What are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be? And so here is a master, the Lord says, and of course the master here would really ultimately refer to God himself. And then the servants, again, remember the term steward. Our theme is stewardship. This has been, say, deposited in you. Like when we entrust our personal funds to the bank, we are entrusting what we have to them for safekeeping. It does not belong to them. It belongs to us. But we trust them. And so a steward was someone, of course we have the 5-talent guy and the 2-talent man and the 1-talent man. And then we have the commendation and condemnation. The 5-talent man doubled what the owner or what the master previously owned. How exciting would that be? Doubled your investment. So did the 2-talent man. Not double what the 5 did, but double what he could do, that is the 2-talent. And so there is first a commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then there is a promise. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you over many things. That is a promotion. And then there is an invitation. Enter, therefore, into the joy of your Lord. Now, the one talent man, one of the most despised characters, really, in all of Scripture, is the one who was afraid and fearful of losing what his master had given to him. He's not only going to lose the role of steward. A word for us that might substitute for steward would be someone who's a foreman over somebody else's ranch or somebody else's farm. He's not only going to lose that role, he's going to lose the role of even being a faithful servant because he's not faithful. And notice the condemnation is among the strongest words that the Lord uses. There are some who look at their Bible and the readings of Jesus, the writings or the statements of Jesus, as though he never says anything at all negative or judgmental. Well, you're missing a great part of the message. Throw him into the area where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can't get a greater condemnation than that. That is hell itself. Here is someone who was at one time considered a faithful steward, but who proved to be unfaithful, digging a hole, burying the amount of money, and then when the master returned, presented it to him, thinking that the master would be pleased. He didn't know his master at all. Now, very briefly, I want you to listen quickly. There are five brief lessons that I want us to notice concerning not just these guys, but how the Lord intends for us to apply this. And there are many more than just five, but five brief applications to the living of our lives. First of all, we are faithful stewards when we accomplish the Lord's work. Now, there are really two applications that you can make of this idea. In other words, this applies to what we do for a living. I've told my students for years, especially when we studied the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, there is no employer who is going to employ you expecting you just to produce your salary to be covered. Your employer is going to expect you to produce many times more than your salary. Just like a farmer sows a seed and expects a much greater yield than just one crop out of that seed. And so, in order for us to be faithful stewards, we've got to be busy and we've got to be active. Remember, the Lord is in the context of talking about when he returns. That's the question that the disciples have asked. What's going to be the sign of your coming? And so he answers with four parables. This is one of them. And the whole idea is, this is how you use what God gives you in the time that I am away, but I am returning. So, we're only successful, we're only faithful, when we prove to be at work in the kingdom of God, laborers in the vineyard of God, every single day. You can make all kinds of forecasts about when the Lord is going to return, you'd be wrong. We have no idea. The idea is you be ready, and may he find you being faithful as a steward of what he's given to you every single day. Number two, God gives us everything that we need to do his work. Notice that the master had it all planned out. He had a man that he had great confidence in. And he gave him the greater part of his investment, 5 talents. Again, could be thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars, especially in our economy today. And then there was a servant who, based on prior performance, he knew could handle 2 talents. And so he gave him that amount. And then, thirdly, he gave the one talent man what he thought he was able to handle. And again, that's where the story comes in, but it makes a great point. Now, God does not expect us to be faithful or fruitful without giving us everything that we need. He's given us the gift of life. He's given us the gift of work. Work is not a bad word. It's a good four-letter word. We have learned during the pandemic, have we not, that we had rather spend a great deal of time at work or getting back to work than we would be at home all the time, because when we finish our day of work or night of work, whatever it is, we retreat to home, right? And that is our haven to get ready for the next day. And so God gives us what we need. He gives us ability. He gives us opportunity. He gives us responsibility. And He's not going to do that without providing what it is that we need. I began shining shoes in our barbershop back home at the age of 12, all the way to 16. It was a great experience. Our barber was also our song leader at church. I did not know it at the time, but he was giving me a great opportunity, because that is really, along with my paper route, where my funds began to build based on saving to come to Free Heartland. And I will never forget the first day. I didn't know the first thing about shining shoes and really didn't care. But what he did, he got up into the shoe shine chair and he gave me instructions. He had all the products that I would need. He said, this is how you start. This is how you apply the polish. You see, when he was a boy, he was a shoe shine boy in his father's barbershop. And then when he finished all the instructions, which were very easily to understand and to apply, he says, now, I am giving you your beginning supply of what you're going to need. From now on, that is going to be your responsibility. You are going to be providing all of your supplies. I don't know how many cases of Kiwi shoe polish I went through in 4 years, but I never had to ask for any funds for anything again. And that was about 15 cents per pair. So, the Lord gives us what we need. He provides us the tools that we need. And He's not going to ask us to do something that He knows we can't do. What He does ask us is to do things that we can. Number three, God does not give everyone the same abilities. You know, our Declaration of Independence maintains that all men, which is a generic term for everyone, all men are created equal. That is true in terms of value. That is true in terms of importance. That is true in terms of how God views us without discrimination. It is not necessarily true in terms of one's capability. I used to love a little song that Johnny Whitaker, who was on, some show back in the day. But anyway, he had a recording about every little boy. Now, this would be a discriminatory thing, right? Every little boy can be president. Every little boy can be president. And then he concludes by saying, why not me? Why not me? Well, you know, the truth is, not every little boy can be president. Not every little girl can be president. There are some who can. And so there are those who are going to lead, and they're going to be in a minority group to the rest of us who must follow. We have a large congregation. We have a large family. We have 13 elders, and we're thankful for each one and their families. But that's a small group compared to the larger group, see? Not everyone is going to be qualified to serve in that role. And so as we think about abilities and talents as an application of this word that one time meant a piece of coin, it applies to our particular ability. God only asks us to do what we're capable of doing. So there are some tasks that may not come our way. There may be some opportunities that do not come our way. But when they do, God knows that we've been entrusted with the ability to carry them out. And we are faithful when we take the abilities that He has given us and use them. And then we work for the Lord, not for our own selfish purposes. I appreciate very much the song, one of the songs that we have just enjoyed. a charge to keep I have. I can remember in the old days of chapel and chapel hall, Gary, you're old enough to remember that as well, in chapel hall where A Charge to Keep I Have was one of the most popular songs that we used to sing from Old Christian Hymns number 3. A Charge to Keep I Have. Notice this, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save, and fitted for the sky. That is an ongoing process. That is a 24/7 process. And so that's the charge that I've accepted when, based upon repenting of sin and confessing faith in Jesus as the Christ and then being baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, that's the charge that I accepted at that particular moment and until the Lord returns. And that is a charge to which we are going to be faithful if we're faithful stewards. And we're going to be faithful until our last breath or the Lord returns. And so we work for Him. We work to glorify Him. We work to honor Him. It's very easy for us to look at the accomplishments of others and really make a big deal about them. And I'm not talking about things about which we express appreciation and gratitude. We applaud those who have great accomplishments. I can look out over this audience and I'm thinking of some individuals as well as some family members who have accomplished great things and who deserve acclaim, and that's okay. That's okay. As long as that person that is receiving the acclaim and the appreciation at the same time is saying, Father, thank you for giving me first the ability and then the opportunity, or the opportunity and then the ability to do the things that I've been able to do in my life. It's all about you. It's not about me. Thank you. You don't have to say that to the person that is encouraging you. But we work looking forward as well as looking upward to His return. And we want to be found in faithfulness, like the 5-talent and 2-talent men. Not unfaithful, like the unfaithful servant. And then, number 5. As stewards of what God has given to us, accountability. I don't know if you go through in your work an annual evaluation or not. Most companies would do that. Most institutions do that, where you're called in and, you know, you've been given the necessary tools and forms and so to, you know, to make an evaluation, but your supervisor is the one that counts. And that day is always coming at the end of whatever fiscal year your operation may work. And our life has a day of reckoning, a day of accountability. The Lord is going to appear. Now, this is not a parable that is intended. A parable is intended to make one main point. It is not intended to say that we are working our way to heaven through our own effort. No, 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 no. There's not a passage anywhere in the New Testament that teaches that. What it is saying is to those of you who are already in the kingdom of God, notice this guy had a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who had great wealth. Okay, now, they're already there. But they're going to remain there, and they're going to be there if they are faithful when their master returns from his trip. Our master is returning from his absence from us, at least in bodily form. He's going to return. And so we're going to have to give an account of how we have lived. And somebody will say, oh, that's why I don't like to talk about parables like that anymore, like we used to in the church, because we don't emphasize grace enough. Listen, grace is all about God giving us the opportunity to know Him, and then we respond to Him. We respond in faith. Don't want to minimize grace at all. But you can't just wipe away your life and say, well, you know, everything depends on the grace of God. No, this parable says we've got to be working. We've got to be working in the kingdom. We've got to be advancing the cause of Christ in whatever way we can. For most of us, that is going to be a behind-the-scenes kind of thing, most likely. Not minimizing at all the celebration that is our worship services. That is vital. What we're doing right now, worshiping and glorifying Almighty God. But then, what contribution? And nobody needs to know. Nobody needs to know. The Lord knows. The Lord sees in secret. And the Lord also rewards according to what we do for Him. We don't have to worry about that. He blesses us. But that day of accountability is coming. You know what? You may think that at the end of every lesson we extend the invitation as a matter of tradition. You know, it is a tradition, but it's a biblical tradition. Bruce, when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, what did he do at the end? He extended the invitation. All of you who hear these words of mine and do them is like a wise man. But if you just listen and do not do, you're a fool. And so when a lesson comes to a close, we prepare ourselves to sing the song of encouragement. That's not a man-made tradition. It's a biblical mandate for us to make a decision. What am I going to do with this? Where am I going to go with this? What am I going to do for the Lord this very day to advance the cause of His kingdom? Well, we have a lot of holiday time in our culture. We have a lot of time off in our culture, but for the Christian, we're never off. And that doesn't mean that we have to, you know, be stressed about that. We just say, hey, we're Christian and we're going to do what Christians do. And we're going to be where Christians are. And we're going to do the work that Christians do. What our congregation is doing and standing for, we are right there. And we're going to support because it's going to be biblical. This is somewhat of an imaginary story, I am sure. Because it's a story of a man who supposedly had a dream about meeting God. And rather than falling to his knees and glorifying God and worshiping God, all he did was complain in this dream. He said, God, look at your world. Look at all of the stress. Look at all of the strain. Look at all of the wars. Look at all of the natural disasters. Look at the racial strife that goes on between communities and states and nations, ripping them apart. Look at all of the illness. Why haven't you sent help? And in the dream, an imaginary story, but which makes a real point, supposedly, this is what God says. I did send help. I sent you. You see, when we take on the name of Christ, it's not just about Jesus coming to save us from sin. What did the disciples do? What did the apostles do when Jesus ascended back to heaven? They gave their lives literally for the advancement of His kingdom. You say, oh, well, that's the apostles. Well, listen, 21st century, no apostles, but we are disciples, we are stewards, we are servants, and we're only faithful if we accomplish His will, if we accomplish His purpose, if we are fruitful in His vineyard. Let's be a part of that great family of God we know as the church. We did not die for it. The Lord has died for it, given us everything that we need, plus more than we can imagine. And yet He sends us into our community and into our world saying, I have sent help. I'm sending you. And that leads right in, does it not? To that familiar quotation that we know is the Great Commission. So as we sing to encourage today, we encourage anyone who needs to respond to the Lord to become a child of God. We've talked about the importance of and the urgency of faith and repenting of our sins and confessing our faith and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins according to the Scriptures. And for those of us who are in the church, we need to renew ourselves and where our place is and how important it is, yes, to be a worshiper, but an ongoing worker in the kingdom. And as much as we look forward maybe to retirement from our secular work, well, that's when a lot of us can do our very best work, when we can be 100% devoted to the advancement of the kingdom. We don't retire from the Lord's church, not if we want to be faithful when he comes. And so that's the invitation today. Because of social distancing, it has been our policy in recent weeks for elders to meet anyone in the commons who would like to respond to the invitation, and you're welcome for that. We're delighted to have more added to our family today. That could be a reason for responding too. And the elders are the ones that you need to see about that. But if there's any other need, we pray that you will respond accordingly. And may we all help each other. This is what we really need. Let us help each other together to hear the Lord say someday, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord." While we stand.